Now at McDonald's, get a $5 McChicken meal deal or a $6 McDouble meal deal. They come with small fries, a soft drink, and four-piece McNuggets. We're going to need a bigger tray. Get more value with your meal deal with McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Last Word on TV and streaming. Joe O'Shea joins us from Cork. Elaine Burke is with us as well. Elaine, tell us first about Masha and the Bear.
This is in my memory of watching it with my niece, a very cute cartoon. And Masha is this precocious little girl and the bear is this exasperated caregiver trying to keep up with this little troublemaker. And it's been around a really long time. Like I said, I used to watch it with my niece and she's in her 20s now. So it's very popular on YouTube. It's also available on Netflix. It's streamed on ITVX in the UK.
But is it Russian propaganda?
Well, that's the theory now. So a group of cross-party MPs are looking at trying to get it to stop airing in the UK because they see it as this soft Russian propaganda. Now, I've not seen these episodes that they're talking about, but apparently there's episodes where Masha dons a uniform that invokes this kind of solitary military garb, and they're saying it's normalizing Soviet military iconography for a global audience of young children, and sometimes maybe pokes fun at other nationalities in a way as well. Like I said, I've not caught this. I just thought it was a really cute cartoon. But you've also got criticism from the likes of Ukraine and Estonia saying similar things, and those nations would be way more sensitive to these kind of things and also way more aware of how soft power might be trying to be brokered there.
Joe, this is not beyond the bounds of possibility, is it, that the Russians would try and exercise soft power propaganda by way of a children's cartoon?
Yeah, I mean, they're trying everything else. We know that. We know that they're messing in every way possible with our democracies. They're messing in every way possible with social media. They're trying to fan the flames of racism, of bigotry, of division. You know, the dark money that went into Brexit 10 years ago, there's still questions being asked about that. And those questions are coming back now with the trouble that Farage is in. This kind of reminds
me of
the
Jeffrey Donaldson, because you sort of wonder about with the DUP money for advertising in 2016, whether any of that came from Russia.
And again, I mean, I know we're talking about it's a children's program. And I remember watching this with my daughter when she was a preschooler. And it might just seem like, oh, it's only a cartoon, would you ever calm down, everybody? But we know they're trying every single thing. There's vast, vast resources in Russia being devoted to this. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility at all. And if the Estonians are telling us and the Ukrainians are telling us, then they're two people we should definitely listen to.
Okay. Elaine, tell us about Sky, which is owned by the American company Comcast, buying ITV in Britain.
So this is very complex, and we'll come back to the Comcast ownership as well, because that's another thing that's a developing story. But it's been announced now that ITV and or Sky is going to be buying ITV, or a huge chunk of it, for £1.6 billion in the UK.
Sorry, the streaming services and the broadcasting, but not the actual program-making studios.
Exactly. So ITV Studios, which makes the likes of Love Island, things that are very popular on ITV, but also, and I'm a Celeb, it also makes Rivals for Disney. It makes Line of Duty for BBC. It makes stuff for other broadcasters as well.
But that's not part of the deal.
Not part of this deal, but they have secured an over $2 billion deal with Sky for over 5 years of production. So that's something that's coming out of it for them in this deal. So they'll spin off and they've got a guaranteed 5 years of production with Sky out of this. And ITV itself also has a public service contract up until 2034. So first of all, this deal has to get improved, because that's a major hurdle, because they will collectively take about 70% of the UK TV advertising market if they merge together. And that's very bad for competition. Their argument is that they're trying to compete with international streamers, the likes of Netflix and Disney Plus, and this is the only way they can do it, is to band together, essentially. But if it gets approved, and that's going to take a long time, nothing would really dramatically change up to 2034, because ITV has, you know, things that it has to deliver under its public service broadcasting contract up to that time. So that includes things like regional news programming, stuff like that, but it also means that 80% of their programming during primetime hours has to be original programming and can't be something that they've outsourced from somewhere else. So not a huge dramatic change is expected if this deal goes ahead in the immediate future, but it will change the landscape of media. And it gets further complicated by the fact that Comcast, which currently owns Sky in the US, is spinning out NBC Universal and Sky.
Breaking in two, effectively.
Effectively. And that company that will involve NBC Universal and Sky, a lot of analysts expect will be something that looks very promising for Netflix to buy, because they were already on the market to buy Warner recently, and then they lost that bid. So they kind of are in the market to buy up some more content. So Netflix could end up buying Sky, and the argument for Sky taking over ITV is to compete against Netflix.
Isn't a further complicated situation in Ireland, because Sky Ireland essentially is broadband and all the rest of it. So where is that going to fit into all of it?
This is the part I don't know yet. Like, this news is very, very fresh and there's so many moving parts to it, but it's very, very complicated. But like I said, it's going to be a slow moving news story as well, because regulatory bodies are going to look at this with great scrutiny before anything moves forward.
Okay. What's your pick of the week, Joe, please?
I don't know, people in Ireland might be vaguely aware of Father Flanagan, who was probably the most famous Irish American, or one of the most famous Irish American of the first half of the 20th century in the US. He was born in Ireland, in Roscommon. He set up these camps called Boys Town Camps during the Depression, the terrible era of the Depression in America. And basically, Father Flanagan raised a generation of kind of lost boys, sort of early, very progressive kind of camps and place and vocational schools. Imagine industrial schools, except with a human face. And there are echoes here. There's a documentary tonight called Heart of a Servant on RTÉ 1 9:35. It's the story of Father Flanagan. And there's great interest to Irish viewers as well, because Father Flanagan visited Ireland in 1946 after the Second World War. He toured the industrial schools and those institutions, a Catholic. And he was one of the few people who stood up and said, he actually called them a national disgrace.
And what happened then when he said that?
Yeah, well, what happened was the entire kind of power structure in Ireland, the church, the media, the politicians, everybody pushed back at him. How dare he? How dare this priest come over from the US and tell us that our fine institutions being run by the caring Catholic Church could ever be, you know, disgraceful or treat people badly? He was an interesting guy. He was a very progressive guy, and he also, at a time when, you know, racism and segregation was huge in the United States, he refused to segregate the Boys Town camps. He fought against all of that. Father Flanagan was Edward J. Flanagan, born in Roscommon, a fascinating figure, and I think one that an Irish American that we can be proud of as well, and a Catholic Church figure that we can be very proud of. So if you're only kind of vaguely aware of his story, that documentary at 9:30 on RTÉ tonight, Heart of a Servant, the story of Father Flanagan, well worth a watch.
Okay, what's your pick of the week, Elaine?
Mine is How to Get Filthy Rich with Gary Stevenson on Channel 4 at 9 o'clock on Wednesday. And that title, if you saw it come up on your TV guide, might be something you'd switch off and away from. It sounds straight from the manosphere. But what it actually is a critical view of wealth inequality and the buildup of wealth, power and influence. And this guy, Gary Stevenson, he is a YouTuber and he's also written a book on this topic.
He's been here in the studio, as it happens, yeah.
And he has even spoken about how things like the trading floor and the attitudes there, the attitudes that kind of drive these economies of power and influence in terms of wealth building are kind of similar to the vibes of the manosphere and things like that. And he speaks to millionaires, billionaires and economists in this, but he also speaks to people at the sharp end of the wealth inequality spectrum, the people who are really like bearing the brunt of these gaps. So 90-minute documentary, I think it's going to be really, really interesting. And yeah, don't be fooled by the title. The title, I think, misleads what this might be about, but it's definitely something worth a look.
Okay. Joe, you also want to mention Netflix's version of Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming this Thursday, and we briefly touched on it a while ago. I've seen the extended trailers for this. Like I said, if you grew up in the 70s and 80s in Ireland, you would have watched Little House on the Prairie. You'd remember the theme tune. You remember the little girl coming down the meadow and at the start. They're bringing it back, based, of course, on the very famous novels written, memoirs written by Laura Ingalls, I think it was, who grew up on the frontier in America. I've seen the extended trailers. It's not going to be gritty and tough, but it does seem interesting. And I think it'll be fascinating to see how those stories, you know, if you remember them in the 70s, how they're treated now and portrayed now. But I think it does look good, and it looks like a really good summer watch as well. So, it's the return of Little House on the Prairie. It's on Netflix and it starts on Thursday.
And very briefly then, you haven't taken to Love Island yet, have you? Because it's very Irish this year with Charlene Murphy and Sean Fitzgerald in it.
I know, and I actually ran into Sean Fitzgerald's sister the other day, but I'm not a Love Island fan. I'm sorry to anyone who is. I've no judgment there, but it's not for me. And apparently they're not doing great with the UK public, and it looks like they may be voted out soon, even though Charlene has managed to stake her claim and coupled up in the main villa. I don't know if it's going to last much longer.
Okay, I have to say, I'm in a two TV household, and I was told by one of the women in my house, this is our World Cup, you go off and watch your own.
I've been watching the World Cup.
Irish people can't vote. Irish people can't vote. This is just another example of the injustices, the historic injustices between our two nations. Your border poll. We need a border poll.
Go back and watch the World Cup and leave your Love Island alone, Joe.
It's coming home, Joe.
We'll be back with lots more after this. Thank you very much, Joe Shea, Elaine Burke.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.